I want to talk about freedom and being a prisoner. So the topic is being a free prisoner. As I was having a lengthy conversation the other day with a 94-year-old woman, I realized, and so did she, that what was negatively affecting her was her loss of freedom. I know, theoretically at least, that freedom is a state of mind. If Viktor Frankl could achieve freedom in his mind while being imprisoned in a Nazi concentration camp, that state of freedom should be available to all of us. His book, Man's Search for Meaning, is a classic. In a conversation with my 94-year-old friend, I brought up all the ways we lose freedom in order to exist in society. I had flown from Southwest Airlines from Florida to Baltimore, Washington International Airport to Long Island. I had to buy my tickets, check in ahead of time, show my ID, stand in line, and board the aircraft when I was told to board the aircraft. Then I thought back to just getting to the airport. I had to stop at stop signs, stop at stoplights, turn left when the green arrow appeared in the traffic lights. I had to either drive under the speed limit or risk punishment if I was caught speeding. I had to park in one slot at the airport, and the sign on the door said that if I had a dog, which I didn't, I would have to keep it in a cage inside the airport terminal. On board the plane, I had to buckle my seatbelt, I had to have my seat in a full upright position, and my tray table had to be up. Are all these controls, restraints, limitations really imprisonment? Did I lose my freedom? Was I disempowered? Or did what looked like imprisonment actually give me freedom? Southwest Airlines boards its passengers in five sets according to the group set that is printed on your boarding pass, which is dependent upon when you checked in online or bought special privileges. In groups of 30 people, A1 through 30, A31 through 60, B1 through 30, B31 through 60, and C1 through 30. You line up according to your position alongside signs that are clearly marked. Easy peasy. I remember the days before the signs were put in place. It was chaotic and unpleasant and unruly. I didn't like it. It didn't feel like freedom. It felt like a potential battle with for territory with a bunch of unknown competitors who may or may not play by the expected rules. If you have to worry about things, you are not free. Without societal structures, you are not free. I read an article recently in which a man and a woman were asked the same questions about what they did to make sure they were safe. The man, after some thought, said, "Nothing in particular." But the woman listed a dozen or so behaviors to be safe from men. Men, taking a look at the list, were horrified that our country had this kind of environment that terrified women. The woman, and probably most women, are prisoners worrying about being harmed by other prisoners, mostly men. Because of the recently revealed Harvey Weinstein scandal, women in the entertainment field were, and most likely still are, prisoners in institutions run by men, some of whom are predatory to the extreme. My wife Catherine showed me an article that revealed how an intelligent girl unwittingly caused her father, an unregistered immigrant, to be detained and prepared for deportation. In her op-ed piece in the newspaper, that girl spoke about always being in fear, that the unregistered immigrants are always in fear that the authorities will come and collect them and take them away. Even if they're working, even if they're paying taxes, even if they're honest people trying to do the right thing in the immigration system trying to become legally accepted in this country. The current national anthem kneeling protest has been distorted by the distorter-in-chief, Donald Trump. The protest was about police shootings of unarmed black people and other forms of police brutality like fatal chokeholds, fake suicides of female prisoners in jail. Blacks, with plenty of justification, feel like free prisoners in a society that is stacked against them. The evidence that this is true is overwhelming. In New York City, I've been in an elevator with other white people, including women. I've seen them shrink in fear when a black man got on the elevator. It would have been impossible for those men not to notice this reaction against their mere physical presence in the elevator. I have never been stopped by a cop for driving while white, but I know that driving while black has caused many police stops. Black men get shot while walking. They get pulled over just for driving a car. They get disproportionately arrested for drug possession. They may appear to be free, but they are prisoners. In the past, I've talked about a condition I refer to as demanditis. Demanditis is when we feel so many shoulds, so many have-tos, so many want-tos that we're not able to calm ourselves or relax. Demanditis is the opposite of what Albert Einstein's theory of happiness was about. In a handwritten note, recently auctioned off, by the way, for $1.5 million, Einstein said, "A calm and modest life brings more happiness than the pursuit of success combined with constant restlessness." I would say a person afflicted with demanditis is a free prisoner, with the emphasis on prisoner. As a former smoker, resistant to facts and common sense, I have heard others, equally resistant and lacking in common sense, declare that they smoked because they liked to. Standing outside an office building in the winter, shivering while trying to inhale as much nicotine as they could in the shortest amount of time, because they liked to. They may say, "I am free," and I would say, "You are a prisoner of your habit and the drug." Think of this scenario. You want to do something, but you feel that you can't. Maybe you don't have the time, the money, the skills to do it. You're free to think of it, but you are a prisoner of whatever obstacles you put in front of yourself and your possible efforts. For the most part, we are prisoners of our minds while putting on airs of being free. I can do anything I want, maybe what we say aloud, but the reality is our ego, our mind, and our pain body largely control what we will even try to do. We are prisoners not only of our minds, but also of our bodies. This is an area of concern for people as they get older. The body doesn't move quite so easily as it did in their youth. Bending and reaching for a dropped object brings the realization that the floor is a long way down. Decisions are made using concerns about physical effort required. The concept of too much effort expands and expands to include many more circumstances than it did before. It becomes increasingly common for people to believe they are prisoners in their own bodies and no longer free to move about to do things. These feelings, continued to the extreme, lead people to want to leave their bodies and die. I had an appointment at 2:30 p.m. I made the appointment voluntarily. I am now a free prisoner of that commitment. Could I get out of it? Sure. but doing so would violate my sense of values of following through on a commitment, because the other person with whom I made that appointment is a free prisoner of the appointment too. I am the paying customer, and I get value, as does the provider. People have said to me over the years that they wanted to start businesses so they could be free. I cautioned them. They wouldn't own the business would own them. They will become free prisoners of the business, meeting payrolls, paying rent, satisfying customers, dealing with employee issues. The many demands of a business shape a person's life. Years ago, I told a famous psychic that I wanted to start a business. He told me not to, saying, "The business will shape you. You need to grow in a lot of different directions in order to fulfill your potential. A business will prevent that because its demands will shape you in one direction." I want to have a clean car. It was somewhat dirty. I am a free prisoner of my need to have a clean car. I knew I wasn't going to be happy with my car until it was washed. I'm not really free. So I hurried out to the garage, backed my car out, got the cleaning materials, and washed and dried my car, all in 30 minutes, because I didn't have time to take it to a car wash. But at the end of that process, I was free. In a lot of places in this country and elsewhere, people are afraid to venture out at night. They're prisoners in their homes, waiting for daylight so they can be less fearful about going out. Doesn't that sound like a Dracula movie or some horror movie from the old days where everybody would try to hunker down before the sunset so whatever evils lurked out there wouldn't get them? And then when the light arose in the morning, they could go back outside again. That has become reality for so many people. When we're overly focused on being a prisoner, we drive ourselves into resistance and rebelliousness, or into despair and succumbing. When we focus on how we are free, we will be able to find ways that keep us balanced and purposeful. Maybe the real prisoners amongst us are those who believe, "I can't." The words "I can't" create bars to action as real as bars in a jail cell. I recently saw a documentary. It was either on Amazon Prime or Netflix, don't recall which. It was called The Emperor of Hemp. It was the Jack Harris story. He was put in jail for registering voters on government property. He was a big proponent of legalization of hemp and cannabis. He refused to settle, so he was jailed. And while he was in jail, he began writing what turned into the most respected and highest-selling book on hemp, its benefits, and the efforts to make it illegal. Prison gave him the quiet time to achieve this. Now, I don't suggest prison time as the means to get solitude so you can think or are forced into thinking, but I am suggesting that all of us have to look past the circumstances of our imprisonment and find ways to give our energy to our will and purpose. We are not alone. And if we stop distracting ourselves with negative self-talk and wasting time in various ways, we can come to know that divine support working for us, in us, and through us is a very real power. This will be the path to true happiness and a meaningful life. Viktor Frankl, in his book and teachings after being rescued from the concentration camp at the end of World War II, had many quotes three of which I'll share with you. When we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. That's where freedom lies. That last comment was mine. The next quote, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. And the third quote is, everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. I would say, we all have the ability to be free, no matter what. No matter what conditions of imprisonment, limitation, restriction that we find ourselves in. By choosing the attitude that seeks freedom, to know our connection to the divine, opens all kinds of doors of possibility. Listen to the prayer I'm about to recite. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.